I read now a prayer offered up on September the 7th, 1774, by the hastily formed Continental Congress of the United States of America. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, High and Mighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who dost from thy throne behold all that dwelleth on earth and reignest with power supreme and uncontrolled over all the kingdoms, empires, and governments. Look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these our American states, who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor, and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. To thee have they appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee do they now look up for the countenance and support which thou alone canst give us. Thank them, therefore, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care. Give them wisdom and counsel and valor in the field. Defeat the malicious designs of our cruel adversaries. Convince them of the unrighteousness of their cause. And if they persist in their sanguinary purposes of unerring justice, sounding in their hearts, constrain them to drop the weapons of war from their unserved hands in the day of battle. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, direct the counsels of this honorable assembly. Enable them to settle things on the best and surest foundation, that the scene of blood may be speedily closed, that order, harmony, and peace may be effectually restored, and truth and justice, religion and piety prevail and flourish amongst the people. Preserve the health of their bodies and vigor of their minds. Shower down on them and the millions that they here represent such temporal blessings as thou seest expedient for them in this world, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. Amen. 242 years ago, roughly six generations, may God in his mercy help us today.
Amen.
Several times in past messages, I have recommended folks to read four books. They don't read anything else, to read these four books. I believe every person claiming to be a Christian, a follower of and believer in the same Savior, are followed by this prayer. Wouldn't be wonderful if we could do that today. And so many places they've said we can't have public prayer. Hello? Are you listening? Are you paying attention? I wonder. As a follower and believer in Jesus Christ as Savior, I think we first of all ought to read this book from cover to cover, more than once. The other three books are Pilgrim's Progress, Fox's Book of Martyrs, and The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, written by Edward Gibbons. Gibbons' book is extremely important for this reason. It is an example of the historical record, an example of the historical record of every governing institution by civilized man. Every establishment of earthly rule, kingdom, federation, empire, or coalition that has existed on the face of the earth since Adam and Eve first sinned in the garden those centuries ago. Bear with me now as I share with you a little historical truth. As we go back into human history, I list just a few of these empires, kingdoms, federations, and so on that no longer exist. The Egyptian Empire, the Mongolian Empire, the Persian, Babylonian, and Assyrian empires. Of course, the Greek and Roman empires, of which Gibbon wrote. How about the Great Russian Federation under the Tsars, Nazi Social Coalition under Adolf Hitler? Then, of course, we see the breaking up of the powerful Soviet Union and the few fragments left of the far-reaching, at one time, British Empire and its world domination over the years. It was this British Empire from which our own forefathers came to establish a new republic. This land which we pledge allegiance to, the United States of America. Human history reveals to us very clearly then the decline and fall of all these man-made establishments, empires, kingdoms, and federations, and coalitions since the beginning of mankind. This Bible even records in vivid detail the decline and fall of the kingdom of Israel and Judah because they didn't take their allegiance to their Creator seriously and relied too often on their own form of government. Am I telling you anything new? God help us to see some of these things as they really are. In his book, Edward Gibbons points out that the Roman Empire's decline began in a subtle and interesting way. The decline and fall of the empires began as the structure of the human family started to fall apart. I believe with all my heart that we must face some important facts in our own nation today. Fact: the family is the very cornerstone of civilization. We find the importance of this truth emphasized in both the Old and the New Testaments of this Bible. We find the church referred to even as God's family over and over and over. Amen? God's family. You say, I don't belong to your church. You belong to my family if you trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? Has nothing to do with being a Baptist. Right? Let's think about these things now this morning. The failure of man-made government is due to the failure of this institution called the family in the Holy Scripture. Beloved, in this United States today, 47% of all births, this is last year's figures, okay, government figures, 47% of all first births are to unmarried girls. 47% to unmarried girls. And 50% of all American mothers are not living with the fathers of their children. That doesn't sound like secure homes to me. Does it to you?
No.
Fact. Since the Second World War, school buildings, teachers, salaries, class sizes, and per pupil expenditures have vastly increased, and yet the quality of decent homes and family life has vastly deteriorated. So truly it seems as so go the homes, so go the nation. Now these are government figures available to anyone who cares enough to get them. And truly they are only the tip of the iceberg. Turn with me now in your Bibles to the 22nd chapter of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Yes? The 22nd chapter of Proverbs, verse 6. One verse. I want us to read this together. Train. Are you there? The Old Testament. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sage advice. I wonder if we can grasp the significance of that. The child is taught how to live the way God has instructed his parents to live. Not the public schools. Pass it on is how the Bible insists teaching a child to go from generation to generation to generation. Pass it on. But what are we passing on? What are we passing on? Why are we in such bad shape in America today? Have we passed on the correct thing? Common sense tells us, if nothing else, a 50% or better divorced and single parent ratio is no way to bring up our children. Amen? Certainly expecting the public schools to feed, correct, and teach the children of this nation how to live will not work and cannot work. Government keeps dumping money in there. Doesn't help anything. Raise that taxes, about all it's done. Would you agree or not? I told you last week it was going to be a little toxic, but we need to hear it. We need to face up to it. We need to admit the truth. Certainly, expecting the public schools to raise our children is not the answer. Read about it daily in your newspaper. Listen to the mind-numbing reports every night in the news broadcast. I'm not talking about Nice and Paris. God help those people, and let's pray for them. I'm talking about the United States of America. It's the gospel truth. As the home goes, so goes the nation. Since World War II, the homes of America have deteriorated until the generation of youth today are confused, frustrated, and even forbidden by our archaic laws to pray, to read scripture, or to have Bible class, and salute the flag, and sing patriotic songs, and Christmas carols in many of our public schools, universities, and colleges. Is that right or wrong? I read of a list of historic failures. I read of a list of historic failures earlier. We claim to be a democracy, but we were established. Somebody tell me what we were established as.
Republic.
Somebody said it.
Republic.
That's what we address when we salute the flag. The republic for which we stand. Am I saying don't be a democracy? No, don't put words in there. But I'm saying we were established as a republic. How reminiscent this is of the Roman Empire. How it truly compares with the final end of the kingdoms of Judah and Israel recorded in this holy book. If you do what I tell you, God says you will prosper. If you do not do what I tell you, you will fail. And there arose a king which did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And there arose a king which did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you can read all about it in here. But on top of that, think about human history over and over and over again. You know what it is? It's human pride. My country, right or wrong. It's the neglect of scriptural teaching in America today. It's simply echoing the one great kingdom coalitions and empires from the past. Can we recover and return as a God-believing nation, I wonder? You know, I struggle to even say some of this. But it really does add up to the homes and churches of the United States of America. It's really up to God, isn't it? Isn't it? It's really up to God. Listen now to what God told King Solomon. as the temple, it was finished now, finally finished building the temple, and it was being dedicated in Jerusalem hundreds of years ago. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You know where I'm going. If you read the book, Solomon realized this was a special time in the history of the nation. The temple had finally been built, and it was being dedicated. And he asked God in prayer before the temple dedication, help us, protect us. You are our God. Now these are the words of King Solomon. And here's God's answer, recorded in the 14th verse of chapter 7. Solomon, no, not Solomon, but he's talking to Solomon. He's answering Solomon's prayer, and here's what he says. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Amen.
Wow. Is this a prayer you and I, if you're a Christian here this morning, is this a prayer we should be praying, that our churches should be praying, that the family of God should be praying?
Yes, sir.
Is this the prayer? My people. Not the President of the United States, not the Senate, not the House, not the Army, my people. Are we praying? Praying for what? Praying for God to forgive us of our sins? You mean members of God's family are committing sins? Oh yeah. Oh yes. But if they'll confess their sins, if they'll turn from those wicked ways, if they'll come back to me, if they'll start praying in school, if they'll stop sitting on their bottoms like kindergartners in the House of Representatives, if they'll stop trying to be career politicians and represent their people and not the past.
Amen.
Yes! If my people will turn from their wicked ways, you'd be surprised about the revival that would sweep across the United States of America. You can't even believe what would happen. It's happened before, over and over. And each time they would forget and go back to their own. It's all recorded in the book here and in the history books of the world. Oh well, I want us to close by you listening to me read the words of an old hymn. You've been very patient. But this is something I've had to get off my chest for the last 5 or 6 months. The name of this hymn, written by B.B. McKinney, just a few years after that terrible Second World War, reads this way. God, give us Christian homes. Homes where the Bible is loved and taught. Homes where the Master's will is sought. Homes crowned with beauty, thy love hath wrought. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. Homes where the Father is true and strong. Homes that are free from the blight of wrong. Homes that are joyous with love and song. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. Homes where the mother is queenly crest, strives to show others thy way is best. Homes where the Lord is an honored guest. God, give us Christian homes. God, give us Christian homes. Homes where the children are led to know Christ in his beauty who loves them so. Homes where the altar fires burn and glow. God, give us Christian homes.